Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Father, as we turn to thy word, open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. For Christ's sake. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would be very interested in trying to stir up a desire within all your hearts to get to know the Bible in a real way. There are so many people have some idea of what the Bible teaches, and they have some idea of what the books of the Bible are about, but it's a very cursory knowledge they have, and they never really get down to the hard task of really knowing the Bible. Now, if you turn over to the book of the Bible that's before the book of Psalms, you'll find it's a book called by the name of a very special person, the book of Job. And I want to read you a few verses from the first chapter. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, some people think that is all that is in the Bible giving us a description of this man. And they have come to the conclusion that nowhere else is this man really mentioned? Nowhere else do people know anything about him. And that, of course, is not the way the Bible is written. The Bible deals with persons and people and with problems and with doctrines fully. And there's no isolation in the Bible. It is one book, and so the whole context to the book of Job is every other book that refers to him and quotes him, and every other lineage of people that we have in the Bible. And so I want to disillusion you tonight from the theory that we all know nothing about Job except he had boils and that's it. Well, that's not it. There was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. It's an interesting thing. The Holy Ghost counted all his cattle, and then people come along and say, you know nothing about him. The Holy Spirit writes the book the way it has to be written. And if we would read it, we would discover exactly what the Spirit wants us to remember. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I used to wonder when I was a boy reading the Bible why we didn't know more about him. And I talked to some great preachers that visited our home. I might as well have talked to an old stone for all the information I got out of them. They all seemed just to shut up because they didn't know anything. And I was surprised. And I felt that there must be something. If he was the greatest man of all the men of the East, if he was a man who was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil, God would want us to know something about him. Not just what's written cursory in this first chapter. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent, sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So here we have a man who was offering a sacrifice for sins away about the time of Abraham, and certainly about the time of Jacob. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. This is a very interesting thing, because this is the first time that God Almighty tears down the great blanket that hides the spirit world from the natural world that we understand. And for the first time in the Bible, the curtain is taken down. And what do we find? We find that the angels of God, the sons of God, and the sons of God here are the angels of God. We can write down chapter 2 and verse 1, and you should write down Genesis 6 and 2, and keep those texts before you, and you'll soon find out who these particular people were. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, about all that he hath in every side?" How did he know that? Because he was sniffing around himself. The old devil saw this man. He was a godly man. And the old devil made a study of him. And the old devil went round, and he saw this hedge, and I suppose he got some of the thorns up his nose as he sniffed around, and he didn't like it. And so he comes back to God, and he says, "This man, Job," he says, "you have blessed him, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in my power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And that is a way that this man Job is introduced. Now I want to bring this message tonight. I want to impersonate. I'm going to be Job. And I'm going to tell my own story backed up by the scriptures. But before I do that, I want to tell you there is a mass of scriptural evidence supporting the fact that there was a man, Job, supporting the fact that he was a great man, and also supporting the fact that his book was about the time that the Pentateuch was written. And not only so, if you study the Old and New Testament, you'll find something. You'll find 65 passages that quotes directly from the book of Job. 65 passages. Interesting to note that there's 64 from the Old Testament and only one from the New Testament. Now, I am not going to take time to read all these, for if I read 65 references, I'll have no time to say anything more. So I'm going to say that anybody that wants to get a copy of this, I will give it to Gary, and Gary will duplicate it and send it to you, and you'll have it. And then you can go over these passages of Scripture. 65 5 times there's a quotation from the book of Job in the Old Testament and New Testament. And that means that the book of Job was not written, as the higher critics of the Bible say, just before the 400-year period that divided the New Testament from the Old Testament. No, the dating of when Job lived takes us back to Genesis, takes us back to the era of the patriarchs, and takes us back when Abraham was no longer alive, for the simple reason that Abraham was the greatest man in all the East. And I have read here the Lord has said that there is none like him in the earth. So here was a man who came after Abraham. Abraham was praised by the Lord very specially, but here was a man that was standing in the same heights of spirituality than Abraham. So, Gary, will you do that for us? And we'll get that done, for it's very important. Well, my name is Job. I know what you're all saying. You're saying, well, we understand you're Job. I know there's a book in the Bible before the book of Psalms that bears the name of this man. But I don't know anything about your lineage or the past history of your family. And I readily answer that is so. There are many who do not want to know the family of Job. I have had people criticizing me because I'm going to bring this message tonight. They thought I should have left it alone. But this is an important message. There are many who do not want to know my family, my tribe, my nationality, and my history before the days of my troubles. They have no knowledge, nor do they want to have any knowledge of my life before the days when the great temptations and awful bereavement struck me. They don't search the scriptures, for if they did, they would find me in the oldest and in the greatest book of family records. And the oldest and greatest book of family records is the book of Genesis. So you start reading the book of Genesis and find Job. You'll find him in the book of Genesis. You'll find me in the book of Genesis. If I'm Job, you'll find him. And so many people don't seem to know that. It is best for us all to keep within the Bible itself for a settlement of any questions we have. And it is important that the whole Bible is always taken as a context for any part of the Bible you're studying. So the context to every text in the Bible is the whole Bible. One preacher said that preachers took texts, but many of them were pre-texts because they weren't interpreted properly. But you can have a proper interpretation of any part of the Bible by studying the Bible itself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wrote the whole Bible. And the best commentator to Scripture is the Scriptures itself. So this idea, you tear a text out of the Bible and you start to draw conclusions from it. Conclusions that are not in harmony with the rest of the Bible. We should never take up any study only by keeping the context, the whole of the Bible. Not choosing our context, but choosing the Bible as the greatest of all context. Remember that the book which bears my name has always been an integral part of the Hebrew Bible. And I want to emphasize that very especially tonight. There never has been a time when the canon and inspiration of this book of Job has been challenged. And as I have told you, we have these 65 references in other books of the Bible to it. These passages, when you study them, will prove that this book of Job, my book of Job, is well known. And it was read in the days of David, of Solomon, and nearly all the prophets. It cannot be referred to as being written long after the time of David and Solomon and the prophets of their day. Not only am I a contemporary of the generation of Jacob's offspring, but I am, as you will find in Genesis, one of them. So what you have to do, you have to find the reference in Genesis. And I'm not going to tell you that, because if I told you that would be the finish for you. But you've got to read the book of Genesis, and you will find who was the father of Job. You will find who was the uncle of Job. And you will also find who was the nephew, or who of whom was Job the nephew. And could I give you a hint? Jacob was his grandfather. Could I give you another hint? His uncle was Joseph. Could I give you another hint that he himself then necessarily was a nephew of Joseph? That's what you've got to find, and you have to find out. And if you want to come and say, "No, preacher, you're wrong," I'll take you up. Yes, I'm sorry, I'm not a betting man for I clean you out completely. But I'll take you up on that. But that's what you have to do. And that will give you some reading. But I'm going to give you some more hints to help you. As I have said, it's better to keep within the Bible itself for the settlement of our problems, and to treat the context to what we're studying, the whole Bible. You will find, when you read carefully the book of Genesis, and a man called Issachar was the father of Job. Who was Issachar? Issachar was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Therefore, all the sons of Jacob were his uncle. And you can remember that, except of course the one that wasn't, he was his father, but the other 11 were all his uncles. You will also notice that when I, Job, came to be troubled, there were 3 men came to see me, called Job's comforters. But they weren't Job's comforters at all. They were Job's tormentors. But there are people who do come to you to comfort you, and you might as well send them out the door, because they torment you more than you ever were tormented before. And the first of those was a man called Eliphaz of Teman. Again, search the book of Genesis and see who Eliphaz of Teman really was. These people are all called wise men that came to see. We're all called wise men. And Eliphaz of Teman in Idumea, this was one of the comforters. He is mentioned in Jeremiah and in Amos and his friends. And he had two friends, and you'll never forget their name. One of them was Buzz, and the other one was Uz. So you can never forget those two were their twins. And they were related to Eliphaz. So find Eliphaz, and you're going to get into the place and relationship of myself, Job. But then there was another comforter came, so-called, and he was called Bildad the Shuhite. That word Shuhite is interesting, because the word Shuah is the name of the sixth son of Abraham by his second wife, Keturah. And it is mentioned in the 49th chapter of Jeremiah, along with Esau, Edom, and Teman. So here we have Eliphaz of Teman, and he has a friend, a wise man, called Bildad the Shuhite. So that tells you something more about my relations. And then there's another man, and he was Shophar the Naamathite. And that's some tongue twister. How would you like to be called Naamathite? I don't know what his mother called him when she called him in to be chastised, but it was a long mouthful. And there are interesting things in the Bible about this man. We learn that he lived in Judea. And all I can say, if I, Job, am a son of Issachar, I went down to Egypt with my father, and at the time of the going into Egypt, my father was 40 years old. So when Joseph invited his own father, Jacob, and his brothers all to come to Egypt, Issachar, the son of Jacob, was 40 years old at that time. By that time, I was the third son of Issachar, and I was 20 years of age. So this man, Job, was taken from Judea, and he went down into Egypt to escape the terrors of the famine. I, Job, have had a life that is divided into three periods. There was a 70-year period, which took in my going down into Egypt. I actually was born the year after my uncle Joseph was sold into Egypt and died 119 years after his death. So I lived 119 years after my uncle Joseph died. When Joseph died, I was 91. So he had celebrated his 82nd birthday. And he was 91. I'll tell you something most interesting. When he died, Job died, Moses was 55. And Moses at that time had been in Midian when he ran away from Pharaoh. He was in Midian 15 years. That was 25 years before the Exodus. And 25 years before the Exodus, Moses was to hand what to do? To write the book. Because those that have studied this can clearly say that the book of Job was written by Moses. He was there at the time. He was the man that wrote the five books of the Pentateuch. And here we have a book that runs parallel with the Pentateuch. And the account that I, Job, was a worshipper of the God of Abraham explains how Moses became the author of the book that bears my name. Now, I want to say to you to study those scriptures that I have mentioned to you. And this whole matter will open up to you in a most wonderful way. But I'd like you in closing to open your Bible at the 19th chapter of Job. And this is a most interesting passage of Scripture, the 19th chapter. And Job said this, "Oh, that my words were now written," verse 23 of Job 19. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Wasn't that wonderful? Here is old Job. He's in the midst of the greatest trouble that ever a man had or could have. And he said, "I want my words to be written and printed in a book." Well, you have got that, those words written and printed in a book. "That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever." Well, God lifted his iron pen and he put it into the hand of Moses. And Moses wrote it in the rock of the scripture and leaded it in so that it couldn't be destroyed. And what did he want put in this book? He wanted put in this book, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." That word Redeemer is Vindicator. I know that my Vindicator liveth. So many people attacking Job even today, and attacking what the scripture had to say about him. And one of the books of the Bible is most rudely attacked by the so-called higher critics is this book of Job. But he says, "My Vindicator liveth." And he says, "At the last day, I'm going to stand on the earth, on this very earth. And after my skin worms destroy this body," and they certainly were going to destroy it because he died very early in the history of this world. And not centuries, but millennium after millennium passed, and he must be now, have they buried something like 5 millenniums. But he said, "Though the skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." He had the revelation that it was God's hand upon him that brought all these things about as they are written and brought him to a place of victory. whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And the word reins in the psychology of the old Jewish teaching was that was the real you that was inside you. And although these reins are consumed within me, yet he says, I shall see God for myself. What a testimony. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? The root of the matter. Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is judgment. And there never was a man in all the scriptures, barring, of course, our Lord Jesus, who knew the judgment like of God, the permitted judgment of God, like me, Job. That's what he's saying. But I want it all recorded. I want everybody to read it. And I want everybody to know what God has done for my soul. And if you turn to the last chapter of Job, you'll find a marvelous ending to this book of Job. And you'll notice, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job, verse 12 of the last chapter, chapter 42. And he had 14,000 sheep now, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. God blessed him more than he had at the beginning. And he doubled the numbers. Somebody said, but he didn't double the numbers of his family. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. But that means he did have double the number of sons, because the other 7 sons were in heaven, covered by the blood of the sacrifice. The other 3 daughters were not destroyed. They were covered by the blood of the sacrifice. So he had double the members of his family. God always does things right. We'd only read what he says he did. And in all the land, and all the bachelors can sit up now, were no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job. So I'm sorry I can't help you, for I'm not really Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years. And saw his sons, and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Jacob died, being old and full of days. Yet, in his flesh, he said he would see God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the intricacies of thy word, and for the joy of reading thy word and meditating upon it. And we pray you'd make us in this day Jobs with faith and trust in thee, and a determination not to curse God and die, but to bless God and live. And everybody said, Amen. Remember the meeting next month. I hope to have another special scripture. We'll get the advert out for it, and we will go farther. And if you have any questions, if you have a lot of them, write them down and bring them in, give them to Gary, and I will see that they are thoroughly answered. If they're against what I believe, if they're for what I believe, I'll say you're a very wise person.